So this morning, we're going to hear a little bit from George and Wendy, but I was quite excited. A couple of weeks ago, I started this sort of theme of mountains. I've shared with you the last 2 weeks of messages are up on website and podcasts and things like that. So if you've got an Android or a, just find your podcast app and put in Hillside and they're there. And the reason that I share that is because I'm hoping that the mountains is not necessarily a series, more just a hook in for something for us to focus and share on. And so out of that, last week I shared on the Mountain of Eden. Okay, and if you don't know that there's a connection between mountains and Edens, I didn't either, and so go and listen to that one. I'm learning things every day, every week about the Bible. But the amazing thing about that is the sense that I had in preparing and sharing about last week was about this garden and this the calling in the garden to work, to be called to work with God. So the sense of work and vocation, the sense that each of us have a calling. And it might be that some of the children that have left, part of their, where they find themselves at the moment is in a place of training and learning. But our heart's desire is that they would at some point be these fully grown, responsible adults that in actual fact are able to tend and work the garden. So the sense of mountains as the sense of connecting with God, reconnecting with our Creator, with the one who made us for a purpose. And then just simply this sense of living well with God. When we think of the creation story, we think that we were created, we were designed. God's heart was that we would live well with Him, with one another, and the whole of creation. His purpose, that we would keep and tend the garden. You know, and there would be some kind of health and sense of well-being and prosperity. And now, psychologists and psychiatrists and that are all beginning to tell us that part of sometimes our anxiety and our mental unwellness is that we simply don't get enough sunlight, that we're not in creation, that we're not playing in the sand. You know, do you remember, you know, Luther? This is before all the science behind this. Martin Luther, one of his sort of recommendations for depression when people were down, he says, go and get your hands in the cowpats. Society for generations knew something about being outside and connecting with the dung of the earth and working the garden, that now they're going, well, neurologically and physiologically and blah, 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 blah. That makes perfect sense. How's that? I had a conversation with a medical practitioner about antidepressants and just how many people are on antidepressants. And let me clarify that, how many people need to be on antidepressants. And she was like, well, you know, Wayne, we're not even getting the nutrients out of our food and our diet and exercise that we were intended to. So from a medical science point of view, she was like, it's no surprise. Anyhow, it's just one little intis and huckies on that. We were made to thrive with God, to worship Him, to connect with Him in worship and in creation. And I could preach on that the whole morning because it has to do with us living well, even just with ourselves. So isn't it interesting that now we get to talk about George and Wendy working in making compost, working with the soil, and the connection of just teaching people to garden. And so this morning, from my point of view, is just such a natural connection between what I've been sharing the last 2 weeks. But it's also about, it's about mission. It's about a couple in our congregation going out to help people find food. It's not about pruning roses. It's about working the soil to eat. But then the amazing thing is just how this farming God's way is also an opportunity just to share the gospel. So it's like so obvious in that sense. So I said to George and Wendy, I don't want to hear all the dynamics of all the planting and that. We've done that. I want them to come. So please, you can come so long. And also just share where they're going. Why that? What are they doing? And part of the reason for that is that we get to commission them and send them out. I am a terrible gardener. Terrible, absolutely awful. Dylan is a great gardener. I don't know if, who does gardening at your place, or you know, but this is just about some practical stuff that they're doing. And I don't have to go and garden, but we can get to just send them off with our love and our prayers and remember them and pray for them. Because they get to do some incredible stuff in the next few weeks. Right.
Everybody, thank you for, thank you, Wayne, for giving us this opportunity, and thank you again for your continued support and prayer. We really, really appreciate it. It's really necessary. So thank you.
Morning. Thanks, Wayne. You're amazing how you give us such encouragement. It really, honestly, we are so, so grateful. When we come back and we just know that we know that we know at the end of the day, like, Lord, you the sealer of the whole story. You the one who makes the seeds grow. You the one who whispers in people's hearts at the end of the day, I love you, I haven't forgotten you. And you're the one who continues to encourage and exhort. And so prayer for us is huge, huge, huge. So we really, really value your prayers.
Thank you so much. Okay, so we'll just go straight into the slideshow. So I'll look at you, and then you can just flick to the next slide. Is that okay? Right, so you've seen that one this morning already. That's us in the forest, one of the forests of Madagascar. But it's just a picture of who and what we are. This next one is about the demographic and the population. So it's interesting, there's one official language in Madagascar, Malagasy. There, is that better? One official language in Madagascar, okay? But there are at least 22 other languages, and most of those languages don't have Bibles in them. That's an interesting thing. And so there are Bible translators. The Bible translators are the people that invited us to go across there. And one of the reasons they invited us to go across there is because many of the Bible translators don't have enough food. So they're translating the Bible, but they don't have enough food to eat. It's just an interesting thing. So Mozambique, Madagascar is about 400 km off the mainland, Africa. It's about half the size of South Africa. So it's a big country. It's a big country. There's a lot of desert in it. 31.2 million population. So there are lots of people. Just people everywhere. I asked Bev one day, I said, what's it like living in Madagascar? She said, it's like living in Soweto. And genuinely, it's like that, wherever you go. There's 22 primary languages. So what was really interesting, they were doing a translation of a language into a thing called Masikoro, a language called Masikoro in the south. And they were doing the lectionary, I think you called it. And they translated Isaiah 58, which is what the farming God's way called scripture. So when we started our training, we were able to put up the farming God's way core scripture in a local language. And it was just, wow, just really special. Okay, so just to talk about the mountains. One of the places we went to was the more mountainous area of Madagascar, and that's the primary farmland or agricultural area in Madagascar. Can you see it? Can you just tap it again? Jaden, have you got it? Is it good? No? Back.
There we go.
Back there. So you can see those circles. So so that's kind of like central Madagascar, and the red ring is around the town, Antsirabe, where we go, or the district that we go. Okay, now you can go to the next one. So there we were at this place called Samoka outside of Antsirabe. And we were on the farm, on the top of the hill of the farm. You can see the mountains in the background. But we often talk about gateways, spiritual gateways. And this particular place was on top of a hill looking down on the main road, which is the only road to the south. So we took the opportunity of standing and praying there that God would open the road to the south. Open the south to the gospel. There are people working there, but there's dire, dire need. That's where many people just go hungry because of just the drought and the deserts that they live in down there. So that's us praying on top of a hill or a mountain. Okay, the next one is the Garden of Faithfulness in Samoka, which is the same farm. I like that picture particularly, because we were putting in a garden of faithfulness at that point. Garden of faithfulness is like a little 1 meter by 2 meter garden, which we want to get in front of, into every village, every settlement if we can. But the point about that was there's beautiful mountains in the background. It was a beautiful place that we were working in at that point. Okay, do you want to say anything more?
Well, just to encourage you again, we are teaching that there is a way out. You can get better produce out of that. So there are people who are hungry, they do farm, but the whole story of our teaching is to, guys, we come to lift up the barren places.
Okay, thanks. And then the last slide. So that's a map of Madagascar. We landed in Antananarivo. Can you tap it? Yeah. The ring's coming up. Yeah, okay, so that's where we land in central Madagascar. So tomorrow night we have our first meeting with one of the missionaries. He's from YWAM. He works with Africa Inland Mission, and he's wanting to do a training. That training will start on the 18th particularly. And then on Tuesday we go outside of Antananarivo, about 41 Ks, and we start on Wednesday, I think it'll start. But these people seem to be so excited about what we're doing. Okay, so what have you got up there? Just hit it again. There's talk about us going up north to a hospital up in the north called Mandritsara. There's a huge drive. They would prefer to fly. Our itinerary is not in concrete, but these are potentials of where we're going to go. Okay, go to the next one. Is it down the bottom? Okay, that's Antsirabe, I think it is. That's in the central part where the agricultural area is. People have asked for training there, back to Somoka, which we showed you the pictures, and then down to the south, there's Tulia. So our hosts live in Tulia, a very harsh city. It's a very harsh city. We did a training there last time. In fact, we did a couple of trainings. But every day, the Bible translators, they walk in to do their translation, and they walk past a well-watered garden, maize garden, that is being planted, I think probably in its, probably it must be third or fourth iteration now. They harvest the maize and they replant it, and there's a compost heap on the other side. So that's just a good advert of what can be done. And the gardener there is actually very excited about that. So that's I like that. I'll tell you just a side story on that gardener. I was trying to teach him about asking him about, you know, who is raised from the dead, expecting him to say Jesus. And I got a fright because he said, no, my brother was raised from the dead. I said, what do you mean your brother was raised from the dead? He said, no, the Christians got around. He died, and the Christians got around and prayed for him. He got raised from the dead. Well, I kind of thought, Lord, I thought we were coming here to teach. And then anyway, and then the other place that we've been invited to is Van Gaendrano, which is on the east coast, on the same latitude as Tulia. So not all of these have been firmed up, but that's roughly where we're going to be going. So when you pray for us, we'll be in one of these places doing stuff. Do you want to say any more?
Well, Bev just said it's a beacon of light. So that for me was encouraging to hear that they're the Bible translators are hearing again, there's a beacon of light, there's a hope that there is a solution. I'm not going to drown. No. And that's what we're saying with God. He's our solution. So, yeah.
So another big deal for me whilst we're away is I turned 70. Can you believe it?